This is The Party with Serene
and Pearl.
Get it right, P-O-D-D-Y.
Hey, what's up, gang? It's the Trim Healthy Podcast with Serene, Pearl, and I'm Danny. Pumped you're listening again. It's really amazing, but I think it's worth it.
I feel like you're just going through the motions.
Danny is a little crippled today in his finger.
That's it.
Would you do a show and tell for our viewers? If you're a listener, too bad you don't get to see his boo-boo.
Well, maybe that is my low energy of my introduction.
Did you feel like he was just...
It was total low energy.
It was like you go to an aircraft, you know, and then the hostess goes through all of her steps.
Do you know
she's
that
she's going through the motions? She doesn't even remember what she's saying anymore.
Do you
it's
know it's
words.
Like this party? Yeah. Okay, Danny can set the tone, and it can be epic all through just through the tone of the intro. Yeah. Like on a plane, and a flight attendant just goes through the motions. Welcome, we're glad you chose American, and we care about where you fly. Blah blah. Or someone can really care, and it's like, hey guys,
and they do a
fresh
let's go, joke.
And they do eye contact.
Yeah.
So would you like to start again?
Yeah, I can start over.
Okay,
we need
it's
it.
Just this. Is throbbing. I'll hit you with a good one. Okay. Well, let me take
for
it off.
For those that aren't seeing, it's his finger. He cut it in two and then he put it back together with super glue.
Super glue and a what's that? That's your little...
It's just a little probably. $10 Walgreens finger brace. It holds it straight. So,
does it make you feel special?
It signals to others to be careful
be
with
kind.
Me. Yeah. And it also, the main thing is it's on a knuckle. So if I bend my knuckle, it opens the wound.
Oh, yeah.
But yeah, most people would have gotten stitches.
But not Valdez.
Not this bargain hunter. I went and got skin glue from Walgreens.
It probably means we don't pay you enough.
No. No, that's also true.
Yeah.
But the reason is I don't want to go and have people sticking me with needles and thread, you know?
Yeah.
But super glue, I think... You could make the argument it's a cleaner fix if it's not too deep.
Mm-hmm.
Why are we? This is a health podcast.
Yeah, it's
well,
health. It's health.
Continue. So we want a redo. And
let me take
we'll,
this off.
We'll redo and then we'll get into the meat.
We have meat today.
Yeah, let me take this off. Women and men, boys and girls, welcome back to the Trim Healthy Podcast. We are so pumped that you have once again tuned in today.
The welcome back has so much energy. I'd give it a 10. A 12 out of 10.
Oh, so good.
Your fist.
To the meat.
To the meat. Hey, we did a podcast recently on, hey, kind of like, how do you fix insulin resistance? 1, 2, 3.
We got a lot of positive feedback. Like, oh, I needed this. But we also got feedback like, hey, well, I didn't feel like it was very helpful for me because I'm not insulin resistant.
Or we got this, but how do I know I'm even insulin resistant? Does that podcast, you know... Should I listen to that?
Hold on. I have a question.
Okay.
What is insulin resistance?
And there you go. So today we're kind of going to do a part two that should have been part one.
Yeah.
But that's who we are. We're a little neurodiverse.
Hey, in the film world, you can go back and do the origin story.
Yes. That's what we're going to do.
What's that called? The prequel.
Yeah. This is the prequel. That was the part one was how to fix it. The part two is what is it and do you have it? Mm-hmm. And we'll give a little bit of how to fix it at the end too.
So good.
In case you missed part one, what are you eating, Serene?
Well, I've been away. I went to El Salvador. And before that, I was in New Zealand. So I've been traveling a lot lately. And I haven't been able to do my good old yuck yums, the kefir and the baobab and all the goodies. So this is my first kind of few days home and I'm getting back to it. And
so
it's just
good.
My favorite. It's my specie.
It looks like banana cream pie.
Does.
It tastes better than that.
Oh, better.
Yeah.
What do you have in it? Just before we get to insulin resistance. Because really this is a way to fight insulin resistance.
Double fermented kefir.
In a jar.
A scoop of plain whey. Because I don't like sweet myself. Mm. I just love the sour to speak for itself. And I can put a few sweet goodies. Like I have goji berries in here.
Mm-hmm.
And I have heaps of baobab. Like 2 heaped tablespoons of baobab. And raw walnuts, and that's it.
Do you have enough protein in there? Because you only have one scoop, a full serving of whey. Oh,
yeah.
Girl, you're good.
Plus, and I scraped the top of the kefir that had risen to the top.
Yeah, so you get
So it's more of the
protein.
The curd.
Mm-hmm. Mm.
Back to what is insulin resistance. We're going to give you a different take on what it is. Because I've had people say to me, Pearl, there's a lot in your new book about insulin resistance, but I checked, you know, my levels say that I'm not. My A1C is okay. It's fine. And they checked my fasting insulin, which is the other measurement, and it was not bad. I'm not really good at burning foods, so what should I do? So today we're going to talk about a whole different take on analyzing whether you have insulin resistance or not.
We would like to broaden the definition so that we encapsulate the very slippery slopes into diagnosed insulin resistance. Mm-hmm. We want to catch all of the sliding people, the ones that are heading their way, so they might as well call themselves insulin resistant.
It's kind of like with the hormones. You know, for a long time, the longest time for us women, it was like there's menopause.
Mm-hmm.
And then there's postmenopause, which is 12 months without period, and then you're in a different season of life.
Now
people are realizing, hold on, baby.
They never looked at all the years before, which were crappy.
That's when your ovaries are in decline. So that counts. That's perimenopause. But now it's finally, thank the Lord, being kind of, you know, set up as, yeah, this is something you're going through and it's real.
So there are organs that start being in decline that are part of the slippery slope into insulin resistance.
Yes, Danny, he's got his...
We can talk about those.
His little boo-boo finger up and asking a question.
I'm just... proper menopause is 12 months with no period.
Yeah.
You don't even call yourself, I'm, you know, postmenopause till fully 12 months.
Or like, you had your ovaries removed.
Okay.
Yeah.
Which will send you into no surgical period land. But okay, so premenopause is just symptoms, but you still got your period.
Premenopause is just your fertile.
Oh, you're 12.
You're humming along nicely. You're probably young. Well, you're probably
you're
in
13.
20s.
Everyone's in premenopause.
I mean, depending if you're 17 or 13 or when your cycle comes, when your cycle comes to when you start the slippery slope.
So it goes pre, Danny, and then peri, which is when your ovaries are starting to decline. They're not putting out as many hormones and they're erratic.
Peri, and that's when you're getting night sweats. Oh. You still have your period.
You might not get night sweats, but you might get some weight gain. You might not sleep as well.
Symptoms.
And then menopause, which is the 12 months where you're not getting anything, no periods. Postmenopause, beyond that.
One more question.
Okay.
There's men listening. We want to know. Can you get pregnant during menopause?
Not during menopause, perimenopause, that decline you could.
Yes. But isn't having their period, can they get pregnant?
Well, it depends. They might not be having period because maybe they have PCOS.
They may not be having periods because they've gone too low carb and they're over-exercising.
Let's assume it's menopause.
And in that non-period time, they could stop exercising and start eating better and then ovulate without having their period and they could catch that and become pregnant. So yes.
But you want to know during that 12 months of no periods, could they get pregnant?
Yeah. Like if a woman, just sort of topically, if a woman is not having her period, she's in her 40s.
Are you asking for your own personal?
Not at all. No, no.
Because Mrs. Valdez is in her 40s. She is in perimenopause. Well, do we have an announcement today?
No, there's no announcement. Oh, God, I hope there's no announcement. I'm just curious the science of can women, if you're not having your period, is that a closed door for pregnancy?
No, because if your period can still come back, then it's not a closed door.
I see.
But once it's fully gone for those 12 months.
Once you know it's fully gone.
And the likelihood is obviously less.
Yeah.
The closer you get to that.
Yeah. So that's the miracle in the Bible where who was it? Rebecca gets pregnant or something?
Sarah.
I always get those two names.
But shall we go back to the insulin resistance? I liked your question, so.
Yeah, I needed to know. Yeah.
So we were back to where Serene was saying some of your organs, like your ovaries, start declining. One of these, and this is what we're going to talk about today, is your muscle mass.
And you're like, hang on. Muscle. We're talking about organs. Yes. We're talking about organs. They've come to define muscle tissue as the organ of longevity.
Yeah, it's an organ. And
it releases myokines, it releases substances that speak and signal things to your body.
Defining the muscle as the organ of longevity. Mm-hmm. Is that common or is that what's happening here?
Well, it's in our book and we show the research to
we
back
did
that
not
up.
Come up with that definition. Mm-hmm. Science.
Yeah.
That's just science.
That's just science.
And that's I've
and
never
all the
heard
studies
that.
Are in there showing the rate at which you lose your muscle, and the less muscle you have, the earlier you die.
It's new
the
science.
Earlier you get disease.
It's new science. It's cutting edge information of the finding about muscle and how it relates to the body.
Now, obviously, we're not talking here about big bro lifters, you know, Mr. World, Mr. You know, where you're accumulating that sort of muscle. That's kind of
that does not equal health.
That tanks.
Yeah,
because that's something very extreme. We're not talking about that. We're talking about muscle. And we're not, you know, when people think of muscle, they think muscle separate groups, but muscle all works together in the body. So we're talking about it as one organ. Mm-hmm. Now, and we've said this on this potty so many times, at what age does this decline start?
Well, I mean, it's a question with lots of nuances. What we're looking to say is around 35.
Yeah. Well, no, it's actually start every year around after 30.
Okay, after 30. We'll say 30.
But you can bring it on earlier with
like
things like we did.
12-year-olds that are staring at screens indoors all day and not getting out to the sunlight and getting exercise, they are starting to get insulin resistant. They do not get the proper muscle mass on their body that they are meant to, even genetically.
Yes, and there's other things you can do to bring about this loss earlier than later. And we did it plant-based. We were vegans for 12 years. Emaciated our muscles before we should have started. So we
and the way we exercise too. Mm-hmm. Over-exercising on steady state mm-hmm. and never doing the kind of exercise that stimulate the synthesis of muscle
But with
tissue.
All those different things being said, basically at the age of 30, after that, every year, unless you are very diligent to combat it, you start losing muscle. So let's put the two together. What is insulin resistance and what has muscle got to do with it? A big fat everything.
Mm-hmm.
Because insulin, when you eat, takes your food, takes your protein, your blood sugar, and it puts it where?
Puts it in the
in your
muscle
tissue.
Yeah, in your muscle.
And plants remove it.
Remove the fat. So yeah, you're remembering another
point. Sorry, not the insulin, the fat.
Yeah. So anyway, all right, let's think about this. It also puts it in you know, some of your organs.
And we have said in our original book that insulin is like a truck.
Yeah.
Likened to a delivery truck. And our muscles need a parking spot for that delivery mm-hmm. truck to come in, for insulin to come in and then deload all of its wonderful goods, its treasures. And so if you have very small...
Or even slightly smaller.
Yeah, or even slightly smaller muscle tissue, which are the cupboards for all of these goodies where you're going to store all this treasures from the delivery truck. They're small. They have to resist at some point and say, hey, we're full. We are so full. We cannot take any more. We can't. So that's,
or we can't take as much as we used to. See, so we're talking about Serene saying, hey, we want to grab insulin resistance and not just go by what doctors say, hey, you're now insulin resistant. Look at your A1C, look at your fasting insulin. We're saying it's a lot broader than that. We're saying for most people, it starts about after the age of 30.
When they're starting to thicken around the middle, but no one has told them by blood work, you're officially insulin resistant, but their body is behaving with insulin resistance not yet to the numbers that they start, you know, we've got the flags up now, you're official. No, but the body has been resisting insulin for all this time.
Trim Healthy Wisdom, this new book of ours that Serena and I wrote for 3 years and now it's out. What on earth is this Trim Healthy Wisdom about? We're getting these questions. Is it just for menopausal women, or is it just about hormones or peptide therapy? Or what about this one? What if I'm a crunchy mama and I've already been following you for 10 years? Is there something in there for me?
Well, let's dig in and tell you what it's about. It's over 1,000 pages, and I'm telling you, we get into the nitty gritties. If you're in your 40s, your 50s, or 60s, or even older, it's for you to live the fullest. It's how to rock 40 and beyond. And if you're reading sooner, well, good for you, because it's best to come in ahead of the curve.
Yeah, if you're in your 30s or 20s, there's so much to learn about in this book. The largest part of this book is actually about food and food as medicine and which foods to use in your hormonal seasons that are challenging, no matter which season you're in. We don't want to just tell you how to eat and then not equip you with the practicality. So with this book, you will get 150 free new recipes that Serene and I are enjoying in our own lives.
And a main focus of the book too is not about losing weight, because a lot of that can end up be losing muscle at the same time. We really focus on the very exciting journey about how to become a burning body.
And that means losing fat, not weight. Mm-hmm. It doesn't necessarily mean losing weight, but that will naturally happen if it needs to. It's all about, Serene, the true way to heal insulin resistance. Mm-hmm. And we do that with a particular method.
And it's not a die-hard Spartan method. It's actually just enjoyable, simple hacks that are easy to put in place in your everyday.
Yeah, so what about the science? We cite hundreds of studies throughout this book, but it's not so brainy that you can't handle it. We break it down, we give summaries, and I've heard from earlier readers that they find it easy to understand.
And of course, we're digging into the hormones. It's one of our favorite little pet subjects. We go very deep on this topic, but it is the biggest heart cry we've been hearing from women. Oh my goodness, Pearl and Serene, help me find help that I can trust
for hormones.
You're going to learn the tools for that and how to optimize your hormones to feel fantastic if you so desire.
And if you don't desire that, what you'll need to focus on more diligently, because hormones protect your brain, your bones, and your heart. So if you're not going to do that, we're going to show you what to do instead.
And your breasts. Don't forget our wonderful breasts. We have a bonus chapter that we're not really meant to talk to you about. Passion.
In marriage.
But you didn't hear us say that. You did not hear us say that at all. We touch on spiritual health, mental health, beauty hacks.
Skin. It's a big one.
Personal tips and tricks.
And protein. But our take on protein is different. It's not just, hey, eat all the protein that you can. It's a very wise approach to protein.
Yeah. Wise and simple. Even though it's over 1,000 pages, it's actually 7 books in one. We wanted to put it all in one fat book so that you get the whole picture. Because all of these different points, they layer upon layer and build strength and health into your life. You need all of the principles, not just one or two. Because what happens if you skip a book? We don't want that. It's all bound into one.
This book is designed to give you hope. It is designed to break the chains of inflammation and the feeling of stuck. And just freedom for your future so that you can live your most vital life as you go on in years.
So you're going to learn how to recover your metabolism safely and soundly.
Hey, so listen to the book or get the hard copy and start underlining, or just get the e-copy or just read the summaries. We don't care, but get this information because it's going to affect the rest of your life. So just go to store.trimhealthymama and find the Trim Healthy Wisdom book bundles.
The numbers that they start, you know, we've got the flags up now, you're official. No, but the body has been resisting insulin for all this time.
What are those signs?
Well, thickening around the middle is one of them. Deflating muscles is another. As long as, if your muscles are deflating, if you have less lean body tissue than you did in the past, well, then you are more insulin resistant.
You are.
Than
so
you
that's
were.
What we want to say. Are you insulin resistant? Yeah, probably you are. Don't take it as a big, broad banner over your life because you can reverse it.
If you do not focus on protein in your diet, like every meal and every snack, not to even the nerd level, but if you don't focus on getting, you know, anchoring every meal around protein, and you don't get out and do a kind of exercise that stimulates muscle growth, you are probably more insulin resistant by the day.
Yeah. So, hey, so now we bring it even closer. We're getting really broad. But can you be a trim, healthy mama and be insulin resistant?
So, oh, yeah.
Yes, you can. Why? Because I'll just give my journey as an example. Had a fantastic diet. Went into Trim Healthy Mama how many years ago now, Serene? 18 years ago in my 30s. I came from vegan, then I came from gaining weight, not being a vegan, and adopted Trim Healthy, you know, lost that weight, felt great, and I exercised. I never, ever contended for my muscle mass. I didn't think about it. I just thought, I'm at goal weight.
You thought about trimness.
I thought about trimness. So I'm at goal weight. I can eat these things. I can even do crossovers. This is wonderful. I love my fats. I love my carbs. Then perimenopause hit. I didn't think about muscle mass, but it started leaving my body like a freight train. Even though I was exercising, I was doing body weight. And yes, it way better for me to exercise than not to exercise. Still, Danny, my muscle mass just wasted away. When I went through menopause. I was a depleted woman. Even though I was still having protein at every meal, I wasn't having enough. Because my muscle mass was slipping away at a faster pace than what I was doing to stop it.
And it's similar to me. Can I describe mine? Okay, so pregnancy after pregnancy, because when we first adopted the Trim Healthy Mama plan and came up with it, I was just in the thick of having babies and nursing through the night. And so that's a time of needed protein, just as much as like the perimenopausal, postmenopausal time. And I remember waking up and I think, I'm having a Trim Healthy breakfast and I'm going to anchor it around protein, so I'd have two eggs. And I thought, oh, we do non-starchies for veggies as a Trim Healthy mama. You know, so I would have these big, you know, like I'd chop up all these non-starchy veggies and saute it up and have scrambled two eggs and do this big, huge veggie egg scramble in the morning. That's probably 10 grams of protein. With two eggs, nothing. And I'd be nursing all night and pregnant. And then as I was very low carb, because I, even though we embrace carbs in our mind and mentally and academically in Trim Healthy Mama,
we ate them,
but it was so easy to fall into what you love. Mm-hmm. Oh, I just love the skinny chocolate and the coconut oil desserts and all of that stuff. And so I tended to forget about ease except for like maybe once a day. Mm-hmm. And so that stopped muscle synthesis as well, because you need that the trigger for insulin. You need enough carbs to get that delivery truck going. So I believe that I was a Trim Healthy Mama and totally depleting my muscle. So yes, you can. Even the best of us can.
Yeah. And hey, we can look back and say, oh man, you know, boy, I wish I'd include more protein. But you know what? You know only when you come to know it, when you need to know it. It's like you come to times in life where you go through challenges and then you need to reassess. So of course we were doing better for our bodies than pouring cereal and having milk or a Pop-Tart. We were doing great. You know, we were at a 7, 8 out of 10. But then we got to these spaces where we're like, something is not quite right here. I lost muscle. Now what happens when you lose muscle? You can't burn food. So you have to eat less.
And oftentimes you get less of a hunger too. Not always. Depending on the person. But yeah, you whether you're hungry for it or not, but you won't burn it as well.
I find when I'm slacking off working out, just for whatever reason, I'm more hungry for the wrong things.
Yeah, me too.
Like when I'm working out, I'm just like a protein monster. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I see steak images of my head. I can see a knife slicing it. I see salt crystals falling upon it. Yeah, like you get this healthy.
Yeah. I don't know if that's a man thing, but my husband, you know, I said here he started to work out, but still most days he's very Charlie Barrett-ish, which is, I tell Serene, you know, no inclination to eat healthy, really, apart from what I give him. Just no natural inclination to eat healthy, apart from days he works out. And then something changes in his head.
It's time for steak.
Honey, I really need my protein tonight. Can you make sure I've got enough protein? Like, it does something. You're right.
But yet, something enough to where he'll go out of his way to mention it.
Yeah, he mentions it.
It's a real thing.
And, you know, getting back to this whole topic, we've had a lot of flack. A lot of, you know, we've been encouraged by some, you know, of our Trim Healthy listeners saying, oh, you know, we love all of this new, you know, protein cheerleading that you're bringing to us. And there's all this talk about strength training. Yeah, bring it on, girls. But we've also had a bunch, probably more.
No, not more.
Not
less. Okay. But well, it sounds louder.
Just
it
more
always
vocal.
Sounds louder.
Just more vocal.
And you actually pay attention to social media more than
I
me.
Do.
You just tell me the negative stuff.
I tell her the negative so she thinks that's all there is.
So, you know, there's a lot of pushback saying, oh, we just want to do Trim Healthy Mama. The simple way, like leave us alone and just let us.
Do I really have to count protein?
Yeah, like this is just all complex. Well, we're trying to bring to you the way that you can remain a burning body or actually stimulate yourself into a burning body. So we're trying to bring you the truth of the Trim Healthy Mama way. And it may get more light as it goes along. You know, the path of the righteous shines brighter and brighter. Of course, I'm not saying, you know, Trim Healthy.
You mean
is a
light,
plan.
More brightness, more truth.
So more truth has been shining upon this Trim Healthy plan, and we've been realizing to be truly trim and healthy through the years in a sustainable way, you will have to start resistance training and being a protein nerd.
You will if you want to keep burning food.
So there will be a point where you're not a Trim Healthy Mama anymore, even though you think you're doing the plan, because you won't be trim and you won't be healthy.
Yeah,
you'll just be a mama.
And here's the deal. What has this got to do with insulin resistance and muscle? Okay, so where's your parking garage for your insulin truck? It's in your muscle. So what happens if your muscle is less than it used to be?
The garage is smaller.
Not enough room. The garage is smaller. So what happens to the insulin? Remains in your bloodstream. And so after a while, maybe not at first, you're going to start measuring high insulin. Your A1C is going to go up eventually. And that's what happened to me.
And is that like you start to get pre-diabetic?
Yeah. And everyone says I can't eat carbs now. Because I went at the end of perimenopause, my A1C was always beautiful because I was on a good diet. But then my muscle mass got to this place where it was so declined.
But even the good diet was too much.
Even the good diet couldn't do it. I got almost, I got 5.5 A1C, which is almost borderline pre-diabetic.
And I want to
on a perfect diet.
Well, this is 2025. I just went to El Salvador with my a few of my children and some in-laws and stuff. It was a fun trip. But I was thinking, this is the modern age. We just left America where everybody's like, you know, passing over their keys, you know, at the airport for somebody to park their car, and they're pressing a button for this and pressing a button for that. And we pressed a button for all our washing of our clothes before we left on the trip. Everything's press button, sit in the car, right? We went to El Salvador and we went to these coffee fincas, these plantations, and there was this lady, she was 80, and they said, that's our best picker. And she was up and down these steep slopes. You know, that's resistance happening to, it was hills to climb. And they're like, oh, yeah, she'll live over 100. Like, this is just the life that they keep so healthy during this. And I saw women that were way older than me, like, balancing big trays of fruit on their head. Like, it must have weighed, like, my husband was like, I don't even want to ask her to bring it down so I can look at the fruit in case it's not something I want. She has to lift it back up on her head. They're big and heavy and cumbersome. And they're walking all day with that extra weight, which is resistance, and it's building their bones and building their muscles. And so I'm thinking to myself, you know, we have to be more purposeful here in America, because in other countries, they're still just doing a lot more exercise, lifting a lot more, and moving in a way that is stimulating muscle and bone.
And it doesn't mean we need to do that, because we're not going to.
No, but right. We have to do something.
We've got to do something, so we've got to get smart and hack it. So that's what our whole new book, this wisdom book, is really all about. How to become that 80-year-old woman right there without doing that. And
right.
It really is not too time-consuming. It's really fun and it's really easy.
Well, there's faster ways of doing it.
Yeah.
But the point remained that we think we're normal now, and we don't want to do anything extreme because we just leave us alone. But we're not normal in our sedentary lives, sitting behind desks all day and then coming home to sit Netflix. In front of the screen or in front of Netflix, and then and it doesn't even take much to cook your dinner anymore because you press button. You're not running around catching a chicken. So we have to do something that may look extreme.
So what did I do? And, you know, and our new book is full of it. But I reversed my insulin resistance. And the number one thing, I mean, I was looking at it this morning. I looked it up. You know, I knew we were going to talk about this on the podcast. What to do? What is insulin resistance? I looked it up and it was like all these markers. And when you have, you know, an insulin of reading of this and an A1C of this. And then it was like, who are the people that came up that were talking about it? It was the people telling you to go off carbs and the people telling you to intermittent fast. I didn't do that to reverse my insulin resistance. I included carbs. In fact, I had more. But what I did was I got nerdy about protein. I used plants to cleanse my muscle cells, because we're going to talk about the fat too in your muscles. And then I did what Serene said. I started lifting. And when I first started lifting, I mean, I've said this so many times on the podcast, it was really piddly. Because I wasn't a strong woman, and especially my upper body mass, I'd lost so much. I started with mostly 12, sometimes 8s upper body.
Oh, yeah, that's how I started.
Yeah, did you?
Oh, yeah.
You seem so strong. I can't imagine you having to do that.
No, I'd eaten myself away. Yeah. I remember looking in the mirror thinking, all right, you're going to be, in a year or two, you're just going to be a fragile old woman.
Mm.
Upper body was just gone.
And just so took my time. I've never even done the bar. I've just done free weights at home. And it's been, you know, a little, well, coming up, I don't know, 2.5 years maybe. My A1C is back to beautiful, including carbs.
And
I burn food.
I've watched you burn so much food.
I burn food. I'm a burner. I just want to say there is a better way to do it then having to go without meals, having to remove the carbs because we actually need them if we're going to become burners. And it's so possible. It takes a while, though. It's not a microwave method. It's not instant. But it's so beautiful and truthful to me.
And it's so much more enjoyable. People are like, just leave me alone so I can eat my, my trim healthy cakes. Just leave me alone. Let me just do the way I want to do trim healthy. But you can eat a whole lot more cake, even a treat piece of real cake when you're a burner.
Yeah.
Yeah. I've, that's what's so interesting is that your relationship with food, I mean, your relationship with food gets really healthy, and it's hard to describe that mindset unless you're in it to where you can actually go, man, I'm on meal like number four today and I'm craving all the right stuff every time. And you, it actually kind of helps you too when you're shopping. I used to kind of be afraid of the meat section. Like I was a little intimidated.
Yeah. You were always used to be so scared of protein, Danny.
It was hard to eat it. You know, when I was a kid, I don't understand this at all. It's probably trauma related. I could not digest a piece of meat in my mouth.
Mm.
There was no enzyme. I would chew it like a piece of gum and then I would spit it out.
Wow.
I had that same thing.
Yeah. Really?
Mm-hmm.
What? So it's...
It wouldn't break down.
What is that?
I don't know.
That's a thing. Wait...
But you know what? Serene started when she went back to protein on Trim Healthy because she was vegan for so long. You started on fish because fish is much more, you can chew it.
I started on fish.
And then I think you start getting more hydrochloric acid in your body.
A fish fillet, I had to flake it and hide it all around the
food. I could barely do fish though because it was fish.
Yeah.
And as a kid, we weren't getting like premium fish with seasonings and stuff. We were getting fish sticks, which aren't fish,
yeah,
by the way. Full
by
circle.
That time,
so
not.
I wasn't eating fish.
Yeah.
But you know, like... Yeah, so like even in the grocery store, instead of like looking at the like men who are clearly into like football, like getting their meat from the meat section, I'd kind of pass that and I'd go find my other stuff. Like I'm over there with the boys now.
Yeah.
And I'm, you know, you become an expert. I was also kind of ignorant on the meats. I would be like, oh, this meat. But like it's fun to get in there and... I mean, this sounds so old school for you guys, but for me, it was so brand new to understand the meats. That became fun. Now I can.
What I love is we're all sitting here. How many years in have we done this podcast together? And we're all still metamorphosizing. What's that word? We're still changing.
Yeah.
Like it's taken you years, Danny, to even appreciate protein and you've given yourself grace along the way. But you couldn't do it until you did it. You couldn't understand it until you needed to. You had to have a son kind of grow up and go to football and say, hey, Dad, let's work out together. And that was kind of the big thing that really got inside your head and changed your attitude to food.
Yeah, I mean, it's a minimum of like 5 years to where you're like, dude, I'm in the groove and I'm just this now.
Yeah.
You know, it ceased, like we talk a lot about how, you know, we get comments online about how people are like, okay, well, you know, can it be simple? But it's like, well, remember, it's only hard at first because it's new for you. And that doesn't equal that you shouldn't do it.
Right.
You know, and in fact, if you just do it in a very short amount of time, it's going to be thoughtless.
Yeah.
It's going to be a part of your lifestyle. And you know, gosh, not even to mention, you know, it's, I forget the percentage. I never knew the percentage. There's a percentage of mental health problems that go away just from working out.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
Add waking up early and having a schedule, another big chunk of that percentage goes away as well, to where people are finding that they actually are not clinically depressed or having an anxiety disorder. They are failures to work out. Mm-hmm. That's it. That's their whole problem. For me, I was probably the worst when it comes to anxiety. I mean, I was diagnosed by medical doctors as having PTSD, an anxiety disorder. I was prescribed antipsychotic drugs within a couple visits to a doctor. They were and I was like, is there anything else you got? Never mentioned working out, never mentioned my schedule, never thought about what I was eating. When I was a kid, I remember my childhood doctor was always, when my mom would take me in, he would always, after he poked around at your lymph nodes and stuff.
They would do that.
I don't know why that was.
It's to scare you. Yeah. Oh, no. Yeah, every time someone touches my lymph nodes, I go into fear mode.
Yeah. Is it just a submission technique that the doctors do to let you know you're no longer in charge here?
I love me some doctors.
Yeah, they're just, they're like, hey, you lose. I'm in charge. Well, I remember they would always ask about, what does he eat? They would ask my mom, what's he eating?
Yeah.
And at the time, it was like jack squat. But that's not asked anymore. That was not asked to me by my adult doctor trying to treat me for an anxiety disorder. Mm. It's just not even on the table. It's just like, and I said, you know, I don't want to get into pharmaceutical drugs. I don't think that's the best move. He goes, are you sure? He goes, it could make a big difference. And I was just like, yeah, I'm sure. And I didn't start working out immediately. It was probably 6 months later that I was like, man, that working out alone is as powerful as an antidepressant.
Because it releases certain brain chemicals. Mm-hmm. It's not just something that's concrete happening to you. It's actually releasing things, neurotransmitters and chemicals that are healthy for the brain.
You know, I don't... this will be hard for you two to relate to because you don't have a backyard in a neighborhood. But I discovered I don't have a hyperactive dog. I have a dog that needed to be walked. Mm. He's not hyperactive as if it's a problem. He has unspent energy.
Yeah.
We can't underestimate unspent energy when it comes to working out.
And especially kids, you know. But, I mean, it's true. And, you know, sometimes we're not sitting here against any, you know, medicine for the brain sometimes from... doctors.
No, but we need to make sure that we're also doing all of our steps.
The other things. But I love it because we're all sitting here and just saying, hey, I don't think we've ever fully arrived. And I want to keep learning. And I think if we say, well, this is it, I don't necessarily need to learn anything more, then we won't learn the thing more that we needed to.
Yeah.
I mean, out of everything we've said for six whatever years, I feel like we're on the cusp of like health science and understanding. And even with like the things that are just nailed down science about Trim Healthy Mama, like we're still at the beginning of new information, of things that come out that where we didn't even realize what the cascade effect of potentially like your great grandchildren may experience because you got yourself in a gym or you began... Like, what does it do to your DNA? Have we unlocked the DNA benefits of healthy eating?
And I'm just so excited. I feel like we're not even to the doorknob. We're just at the welcome mat of the information that's going to come to us and bring light and hope and health into our lives. So sure, you bet, Trim Healthy Mama is going to keep morphing.
Yeah.
It's going to keep morphing as truth is revealed. So we're not even saying now we're a protein nerds and now we're into resistance training. We've arrived. This will be the simple one. You're like, girls, can't you just leave us alone at being protein nerds and resistance training?
Exactly.
Because we're going to be moving on from here.
Yeah.
You betcha.
All right, we're good. Hey, see you next week.
Yeah, see you next week.